Mark chapter 6 is one of those odd passages in the Bible that we all know the story, but we have trouble dealing with the consequences of it. We have difficulty trying to figure out what could be going on and what God might be trying to share with us. Jesus goes home, preaches the gospel, and miracles don't happen. Now, some people are indeed healed, right? It tells us that. The scripture doesn't say that nothing happened. It just says that it was awkward. It wasn't the same as it was in other places. You see, when Jesus came into town, everything came up roses. Jesus had the Midas touch. People would literally fall into Jesus and get healed. That's what we talked about last week, right? The woman with the flow of blood who reaches out and touches the hem of his garment, and boom, she's healed. Now Jesus goes to his home, goes to preach, and is met with failure. Failure. It doesn't work like it's supposed to. And guess what? When it doesn't work like it's supposed to, it's a failure. We all know it. And we all know what it feels like when it's not going well. Now, there's a couple things that we find that are interesting in this passage as well. One is that Jesus has brothers and sisters. The brothers are named, the sisters are not. But Jesus comes from a pretty big family, doesn't he? There's multiple brothers named, and there's sisters as well. They don't seem to believe. And the community took offense at Jesus. That's worse than simply ignoring him. Taking offense means that they actively fought against him. Think about that for a moment. They were opposed to him. They took offense to him. I mean, the word itself means that they were offensively against. Jesus experiences his first failure in ministry here. But let's see what this is a failure of. This is not a failure of preaching or teaching. Jesus does everything the same way that he does it in other towns. He preaches effectively. He teaches at the synagogue. People listened and were astonished. Their reaction to his command of the word of God was equal to that in other places and in other towns. The failure was in the result, not in the work. And this is where we sometimes take the story and go into the wrong direction. Because sometimes we think that failure is because we've done the wrong things. Oftentimes in ministry, you can preach, you can teach, you can pray, you can sing all the right songs and do all the right things and not have it work. Sometimes you can do it right and not have what we would recognize as a right result. You might get it all. You might have all of the right prayers. You might hold yourself in a way in which you are showing glory to God, and not a single person comes forward. Not a single response to your preaching. God knows there are ministers out there who have toiled day and night with no response. And believe it or not, this type of thing can be crushing to the ministry of a pastor or the ministry of a church. But you have to understand what God is trying to teach you here. Jesus said, and only in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house is a prophet without honor. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. Did you hear that? The issue wasn't his lack of preaching or power. The issue wasn't the fact that he preached from the wrong text or he said the prayer wrong or heaven forbid, he did the wrong order of worship or sang a song that people didn't like, right? The issue here was their lack of faith. Sometimes you go into towns and they're just not ready to hear you. Sometimes you go into places and people hear with their ears, but they don't listen with their hearts. Sometimes you share the right things and they are not responded to in the right ways. Sometimes you communicate effectively and people don't hear you correctly. Anyone who has ever tried to communicate with someone and found that no matter what they say, they're wrong, knows how this feels. Anyone who's ever been blocked from actually being able to communicate with someone because that person had too much in their own head, too much of their own anxiety that was flooding them, that was filling them, that was making it difficult, if not impossible, for your words, for your love, for God's grace, for God's love to penetrate into their hearts, know that sometimes people are resistant. The human heart and the human soul can sometimes be like hard ground that seeds can't get into. Jesus told the parable about it. And sometimes the life that a person presents to you when you are sharing the gospel simply isn't ready. You have to remember that failure is not the opposite of success. It's a part of the success. Sometimes you are not the first person or the last person to talk to a person about Jesus. And you got to know that. You've got to know that just because they didn't respond to you doesn't mean that your work wasn't valuable. You have to know that just because they didn't respond to your advice, to your grace, to your love, that it wasn't important that they heard it. You have to know that you played a role whether you saw the victory or not. You see, we think this is about us. You've heard me say this before. It's the core of ministry. It's not about us, and it's not about me. It's about God. And it doesn't matter whether you hear me. It's whether you hear God that is important. And it doesn't matter whether that voice that you hear God from is my voice or someone else's voice later. What's important for me is that I speak. What's important for me is that I act. See, that's me doing my job. How you hear it, how the world hears what you have to say, isn't yours. You see, we are instructed to go and to preach and to teach and to pray, but we are not given a guarantee that that's going to have success. Now, this scripture passage I told you is a confounding one. It's not just confounding because it starts with Jesus failing. It's more confounding in that right after Jesus fails, he then sends his disciples to do the work that he's doing. I mean, that's a terrible time to send anyone out. You know, I mean, let's put it this way. You know, I'm looking to do an evangelism campaign, and so I say, hey, follow me. I'm going to show you how to do evangelism. And so I take you, and I say, walk with me. We walk down the street. We knock on doors. And the first door opens, and the person says, get off my patio. Okay, we'll go. We go to the next door. I'm calling the police if you keep showing. Whoa, wait. I knock on a third door. They throw me out again. And then I look at you and I say, okay, next week do this alone. How many of you are going to go? How many of you are going to show up the next week to go knock on doors if all you saw is me being rejected? Is that encouragement? Is that say, now go and do ye likewise, right? You know, that's good biblical language, right? Jesus is teaching the disciples something here. You can't tell me this is accidental. Jesus wants to make sure that they know that the first rule of ministry is showing up. At some point, what they have to do is they have to show up and do what God has called them to do. They have to be the best Peter, the best John, the best James that they can be. Their job is to go and teach and to share and to pray and to cast out demons. And if it works, great. And if it doesn't, great. Because their job is to show up. And so Jesus shows them what it feels like to not see success and to not give up. And Jesus sent the 12, and they went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil, and they healed them. Now, let me tell you something about this many. Many is one of those words that's a tricky one, okay? Because the 12 may not have healed as many individually as Jesus did in Nazareth. Jesus preached and taught and healed by his miracles, right? He laid hands upon a few sick people and healed them. Now, the crazy thing is that when 12 people go out and each one heals a few, what does that quickly become? Many. The reality is that if I go out and knock on doors and I get a few people to respond, and then I send you out, and each of you go and share the gospel with people, and each of you get a few people to respond, guess what? You've just reached many. You've just healed many. You've just touched many. See, the factor is exponential. When 12 go, there's 12 times the possibility. When 50 go, 50 times the possibility. If 10% are going to say yes, then for goodness sake, don't stop at door number 9. Do 10. 100 is going to bring 10. 1,000 will bring 100. And if 50 people go and share the gospel with 5 each, then 25 will see the Lord. A few quickly becomes many when the work of God is in the hands of people. And when the hands are many, the work is good. But let me tell you something. People are going to reject what we have to share. This isn't me being a Dolly Downer or a Danny Downer. This is me being realistic. This is me recognizing that the gospel tells us that everyone's not going to hear you. And sometimes the people that are closest to you are going to be the most resistant, which is why you need friends in the church to reach out to your children and grandchildren. Because sometimes grandpa's just too dumb to know about the gospel. And sometimes grandma loves you too much to really tell you the truth. Or at least that's how people think, right? We're too close. And because we're too close, people don't hear us as we are. You can be an expert in your field, but you're still little Danny when you go home, right? No matter what you do, no matter how big your brain, no matter how much your education is, when you are at the table, you're still going to get your hand smacked by your grandmother if you grab the bread too quick. You need to understand that. And it's one of the interesting things that alongside the instructions of what they should carry with them, how they should trust in the Lord, Jesus also gave them instructions on how to handle rejection. Think about it. Before they even asked their first person to buy their Amway product, Jesus was already telling them what to do if they don't want to buy it. Jesus says, if any place will not welcome you or doesn't want to listen, leave. Don't stick around too long. And shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. Whoa. He was even getting them to be bold. Hey, you don't want to listen? Good, we'll leave. It's instructive and important to know that every good evangelist knows when to leave and knows when to stop. They know when to leave and they know when to stop because sometimes saying too much hurts. Sometimes you push too hard. Sometimes you get into an argument that doesn't help your cause. Sometimes it's important just to stop. And to leave. That stopping and leaving doesn't mean that someone else isn't going to come by, though. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the Corinthians, recognized that many people were involved in the church there in Corinth. Many people had preached the gospel. And Paul famously talked about the fact that Apollos and Cephas and Paul himself, they all had a role. One planted, the other watered, the other harvested. The reality is that when you come to somebody and you share the gospel, if they respond, oftentimes it's not because you were the only one that did it. Don't take a victory lap. Because it wasn't you. It was God working in them, often through multiple people, multiple experiences, multiple times hearing the gospel. In a few weeks, I'm going to be going to Canada. We go to this place. We sit on an island, a rock island. And on that rock island, there's moss and there's weeds and there's berries that have grown up through the cracks. And every time I'm there, I show the kids the moss and the weeds and how it's breaking down the rock and how the weed gets in and starts pushing the rocks across. And in a year, in 2 years, in 3 years, there's more soil. There's more fruit. And over time, as erosion takes place, that rock can someday become something that you can actually have dirt on. It takes time. And it takes effort. And it takes the work of seeds and weeds and moss and each of us to break down the hardness of soil, of surface, and of hearts. Don't be afraid of rejection. Because you're just part of a long plan that God has in the people around you. What you need to be afraid of is not showing up. You see, what Jesus is trying to teach us, what God is trying to teach us in this passage, is that rejection isn't a reason to stop talking. It's not a reason to stop sharing. It's not a reason to stop preaching or stop ministering. It might be a reason to go and talk to someone else. But it's not a reason to stop talking. When the apostles went out, they went out to other places. They surrounded the countryside. There's someone out here who needs the gospel. Someone who's willing to listen. When we go and when we answer the call, when we share the gospel, when we evangelize to our neighbors, it's not about us doing our thing. It's about letting God do God's thing through you. It's about recognizing that you can be the instrument of God's love and of God's grace if you would only be obedient. The incredible thing is that the apostles discovered that the power of God was in them as well as in Jesus. And that if they only found someone who was willing to listen and who was touched by God, then they can do miracles as well. God is sending you into a world today, and the world that he is sending you into is a world that has already been won for Jesus. God tells us that he's overcome. Jesus tells us he's overcome the world. Jesus has already won the victory, right? But now he wants you to act like you're winners. To act like the road is good. To act like your hope is secure. To act and to live as if we are right. And guess what it takes? It takes people going and sharing God's love. You know, one of the hardest things to do is to hear as the world seems to be more and more closed to Jesus. Do you ever get distressed and disappointed by the world that you see out there? Just be honest. It seems like it's getting harder because there's less and less people that seem open to the gospel. But let me tell you something. We don't know what's in people's hearts. Most people are lemmings. My grandfather used to, he used to say this to his grandkids. We thought he was, he's old. You know, that's all we could say is he's old. He would say, monkey see, monkey do. I'm not a monkey and neither are you. That's what he'd say. And what he was telling us in his own words was, he was saying, don't follow the crowd. Okay, don't be like everyone else. But guess what? The impulse of our world is to be like everyone else. And so when the church was in charge, guess what? Everyone went to church. Everyone went to church because that's what you did. You went to church because everyone went to church. If you wanted to do business, you went to church. Karl Marx learned from his dad that faith was not meaningful because his dad became a Christian. He was Jewish, but he became a Christian because in Germany that meant you'd do better business. And so Marx realized that God must be dead because all church was about was business. And guess what? There's some people that go to church because of business. You look in the church today, you'll find people that are in church because they want to worship God. Because they want to devote themselves. They're searching, they're hoping, they're praying. And then there's people outside that don't know. All they know is what other people tell them. All they know is what the church looks like from the outside. You know, every time there's a YouTube video of a person that claims to be a Christian that's berating somebody on the street, it makes us look bad, right? And guess what? For every YouTube video that goes viral and has a bazillion hits, it means that each of us have to show the love of God a couple hundred times in order to contradict that. And so what are we going to do? We're going to show the love of God until we turn the tide. We're going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ that shares grace for sinners, that has hope for the lost, that shares life for the dying, that recognizes that there's resurrection in Jesus Christ, there's grace and forgiveness in Jesus Christ, there's life in Jesus Christ, and there's love and peace in Jesus Christ. And we're going to preach it, and we're going to share it, and we're going to recognize that every time we share it, it's a success. That every time we show love, it's a success. And then the world's going to change. It's weird, because you never see it. It happens under the ground. It happens below the surface. It happens in ways that we don't always comprehend. But a church can pray for weeks and months and years, and nothing happens. And then all of a sudden, everything changes. And sometimes a new pastor comes in and everything changes, and everyone says, "Hey, what did this new pastor do that was so incredible?" And the new pastor, if they're right, says nothing. The people have been praying for 20 years. Sometimes preacher preaches a sermon and everyone goes, "Wow, that must have been a great sermon because 10 people came forward." Well, guess what? It wasn't. God was preparing 10 people. And the floodgates broke like that. Never stop praying, acting, living, and loving. Because God is preparing for a great happening. And it's only if we do it every day that it's going to occur. First Baptist, I want to thank you for praying over the last several weeks. But I don't want to let you off the hook and say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." See, you only get "well done, good and faithful servant" when we're in heaven. Today, we get encouragement to do it again. Keep praying. Keep sharing. Keep loving. Keep reaching out. If you're someone who knocks on doors, knock on doors. If you're someone that goes and sits at the fence and talks to the person on the other side and tells them how much God loves them because you love them so much, then go to the fence. If you're someone that walks the neighborhood and simply does good things for your neighbors and leaves a little note that says Jesus loves you, then leave your note. If you're someone who writes a card and sends it to someone who you love or someone who you just simply know, then write your card. But whatever God instructs you to do, do it. And never cease doing it. God is waiting to smile on this planet, and God has given you each as the teeth that illuminate the smile. Show your pearly whites to the world. And let's see what God's going to do. Let's pray. Loving God, you have overcome the world. Overcome us. Help us to have the consistency and purpose, the perseverance in spirit, and hearts of love so that we can share your gospel with the world around us. Help us to never give up. Help us to never give in. Help us to always show hope in all that we do. Lord God, help us to know that if they rejected you, they may well reject us. But they will also know because we share. Loving God, I ask that your Holy Spirit would be present here at First Baptist Church and that you would send us into the world to heal, to love, to preach and to teach, to pray, to reveal God's glory to the world around us. Lord God, we pray for a harvest, and we are thankful for the opportunity that you have given to us to walk with you. Help us in America in 2018 to serve our communities by sharing your gospel and to transform this nation one person, one street, one neighborhood, one village, one city at a time. and so that the people of God would stand and be noticed, so that they would serve in love, so that they would seek first your kingdom and transform your world. And we pray it in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. As we sing our last song, Lift High the Cross, help us to recognize this. I want to make sure that you know that without Jesus, that none of this means anything. Without having Jesus in your life, there's truly no way that we can grow our church. Lifting high the cross means that we recognize the sacrifice of Jesus, the death of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus, that it's transformative in our lives so that it could be transformative in someone else's. If you have not come to that transformative moment in Jesus, today's the day. We need transformed people to transform our world. We need followers of Jesus to create followers of Jesus. If you're someone who's not yet a follower, today's the day. If you're someone who is but feels like God is calling you deeper, take the next step. But wherever you are, don't stand still. Move forward in your faith.